live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 27th day of February, 2026. Before I introduce my guest and our topic today, I want to remind you all that world-renowned conference speaker and author and Reformed Baptist pastor in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, Dr. Conrad Mbewe is coming here to central Pennsylvania next week. He will be preaching first at the church where I am a member. That is Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, on Wednesday, March the 4th at 7 p.m. That event is open to everyone. Every man, woman, and child is welcome, and it's absolutely free, of course. And if you want more details on how to get to Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, visit our website, trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle, which is spelled C-A-R-L-I-S-L-E.org, trbccarlisle.org. And then on the following day, Thursday, March the 5th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., Dr. Mbewe will be preaching at my next biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And everything is free of charge, not only your admission and your meal and your opportunity to fellowship with colleagues in ministry, make new friends, rekindle friendships with old friends. But everyone who is attending is going to be receiving at least two heavy sacks of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. And I keep hearing from publishers who are shipping out their books with enough priority to get them to their destination by the time of the luncheon. So if you want to come to a free pastor's luncheon where you're not only going to be edified, but you can help build your own library with all the books you're going to be getting, register for this free event. If you're a man in ministry leadership, that's a pastor, elder, deacon, a leader in a parachurch organization, send your emails to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. Give me your full name, the full name of your church or parachurch organization, and its location and the number of men who will be joining you. And I am so looking forward to this. And by the way, Dr. Conrad Mbewe is going to be my guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Tuesday, March 3rd. So mark your calendar for that as well so you can hear Dr. Mbewe on the program once again. But I am so thrilled to have a returning guest. He has become a close friend over the years, and he has invited me to participate as a voiceover artist for a number of the documentaries he's created. And we're going to be discussing one of those documentaries today. I'm speaking of Jason Wallace, documentarian, theological debate facilitator, and pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church, which is an Orthodox Presbyterian congregation in Magna, Utah. Today we're going to be addressing the Mormon mess of conflicting and contradicting revelation, allegedly from God, and introducing the new documentary, The True and Lying Church, the LDS cover-up of John Taylor's 1886 revelation. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Trip and Zion Radio, my dear friend, Pastor Jason Wallace.
Chris, always a privilege to be with you.
Why don't you let our listeners know about Christ Presbyterian Church in Magna, Utah?
Well, as you said, we're a congregation of the Orthodox Presbyterian denomination. We started out here 28 years ago as a church plant, and the Lord is blessed. We have an established congregation here in Magna, which is Salt Lake City area. It's about 15 minutes west of downtown. And we have a sister congregation up in Clearfield. They're about to move to a new building that they were able to purchase in Ogden. And we have a mission work down in Provo, which is the home of Brigham Young University. And so we have a former LDS meeting house that we purchased. It had gone through a number of hands over the years there in Magna. And the building that our sister church just bought was a former Church of Christ Scientist building.
Yeah, and the circumstances around the purchase of that building are quite remarkable, almost bordering on the miraculous.
Yeah, our sister congregation, the organizing pastor had a couple of strokes, and by the time that all the dust settled, he was gone, and there were about a dozen folks up there, and I told them, I said, I can't do much for you, but I can come preach. And so the Lord built them back up, but then they were sort of betwixt and between. They were in a rented space that really wasn't sufficient for them to be able to grow more than they had already grown. Meeting space is at a premium. And so I went looking about a year ago to see if maybe he could find an existing building that might be available at a reasonable price. And so I approached the Christian Science folks, and they were extremely gracious to us. They had basically stopped meeting, and they really liked that we were going to keep it as a church building. And just the land was worth more than twice of what we ended up paying for it. But they knew that we would keep it as a church building, and they gave us a very good price. And even at that good price, we were going to have difficulty swinging it. And we had a visitor that when our congregation in Magna approved buying it in our name, because we could borrow the money to more easily than our sister congregation could, someone heard the need, and we had already raised about $60,000, and someone wrote a check for $155,000. And so basically they got the building for $50,000. They owe us $50,000. But that's otherwise it's debt free. And so it's a wonderful building. It seats over 300. It's in good repair, and it's only 7.5 blocks from the heart of Ogden.
Wow. Well, if anybody wants more details on Christ Presbyterian Church in Magna, Utah, and I'm assuming there'll be details on the church plant in Ogden, Utah as well, Just go to their website, gospelutah.org, gospelutah.org, and God willing, we will be repeating that information later on in the program. Well, go ahead.
One thing I forgot to mention, we're going to be using the new building. We've tried to be aggressive in outreach over the years. We've done a lot of book tables. We've done a lot of debates. We actually have James White, mutual friend, Dr. White's coming to town April 3rd, and we'll be debating an LDS apologist there in the church building in Ogden. And then he and I are going to have a dialogue the next night talking about should Christians want a new Constantine? You know, there are a lot of folks pushing for a Christian Caesar. And for our differences, James and I can both agree that's not a good idea. So we're going to be talking about that on April 4th there in the church building in Ogden.
Great. That all sounds exciting. Well, as I mentioned, we have quite an interesting conversation we're going to have today. The Mormon mess of conflicting and contradicting revelation allegedly from God. Years ago, back in the 1980s, actually, when I was a brand new Christian, I was watching television and saw a commercial from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who said in the TV ad, if you would like a Book of Mormon hand-delivered to your home by a Mormon elder, call this toll-free number. And I immediately picked up the phone, called that number, and asked for Book of Mormon to be delivered to me, not because I was interested in becoming a Mormon, but because I wanted to test my apologetic skills as a young Christian man, kind of in a cage stage Calvinism phase. And sure enough, not long after that, maybe a week after that, a young Mormon man and an older Mormon man came to my door. And we started out with a very pleasant conversation. We were giving our own personal testimonies. And then as the conversation started to get more theologically focused on our differences, there began to be a lot of visible discomfort on the part of the Mormon. He was very surprised by this. And I can still remember when the issue of Mormon racism came up. And keep in mind, this is the 1980s, so just about a decade before, a little over a decade before perhaps, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints first began in their entire history to welcome blacks into the Mormon priesthood. And I brought this up to the young man. And he said to me very angrily, who are you to talk? You're a Baptist, and there are Baptists in the Ku Klux Klan. And I said, yes, there are. And there are many other idiots in this world who are Baptists. And there are many Baptists who will no doubt be in hell. But we're talking about your prophets. This is an entirely different story. And I think that that has a lot to do with what we're going to be addressing today, doesn't it?
Almost definitely. The central claim of the LDS Church is that they are the one true and living church upon the face of the earth. They have living prophets. And you know, they say the Bible is insufficient because just look at how many different denominations there are. And the argument goes that if the Bible was clear, everyone would be agreed. And, you know, that can sound great if you've never bothered to read the Bible, because the lack of clarity has never been the major problem. It's that people really don't like what God has to say, and they try to change it to suit themselves. Yeah, we see the hell through Scripture. But to a lot of folks, that sounds convincing. And the Mormon Church says, you know, all these people, they read the Bible, they come to these different conclusions, but we have a living prophet. And the problem with that is when their living prophets start to contradict one another, when they're demonstrably lying. And, you know, it's just like in, you know, a lot of people love these true crime shows, and, you know, the procedural criminal shows, where if you get someone talking long enough, they start to contradict themselves and they hang themselves. And the Mormon Church has been around for, going on 200 years. And so it's had a whole lot of time to hang itself to anybody that pays any attention. Because it's not just that they're contradicting our understanding of the Scriptures, they're contradicting one another. And when they're speaking as prophets, it's hard to maintain this. I mean, you have a Catholic background. It's the same thing. Rome claims that they have a pope. But what happens when popes contradict popes? You know, the apologists will say that, well, that's because this other one wasn't speaking ex cathedra.
Right.
They'll try to spin it. But Mormons have a harder time with that. It doesn't mean they don't try. And we can talk about how they do that. But the segue on the video was that back in June, the Mormon Church, on its Church History Library website, posted a record that they had not ever listed publicly before. It was a revelation from 1886 by then prophet John Taylor. And the problem is that they had denied over and over and over that any such revelation existed. In 1933, their first presidency, which is the president or prophet, and his two first, his first and second counselor, to get, they're also called presidents. But the three presidents of the church, the first presidency, they issued a formal statement that there was no such revelation. There wasn't one in the archive or in the archives of the church. There, no one had any knowledge of such thing, and they say it just never existed. Well, lo and behold, not only do we see that, yes, they actually did have it at that time, but other records exist that it had been widely discussed among the very men who later said they knew nothing about it. And so it's a very embarrassing thing to admit that it's actually been in the archives, a transcript of it going back to 1909. And 24 years later, the man who did the transcription was the church historian. And it had been included in journals of men like Heber Grant, that it had been discussed among their apostles. They all knew of it. It was discussed repeatedly. And then in 1933, they're like, we know nothing about this. It's a forgery. But no, it really was. It actually was real. Included in that file that they admitted having was the handwritten original. Because after the 1933 official statement, the Taylor family actually gave the original to the church archives. But they continued for decades denying that it ever existed. Not in such formal statements, but their apostles would go out and state that, oh no, this is a fraud. There was never such a revelation. even though they had the original given to them.
And if you could repeat the doctrinal matter that makes this so problematic for the Mormons.
Well, the thing about it was the revelation, you can watch the video and see the full statement. It's not a very long revelation, but the gist of it was John Taylor said that he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told him directly, "Thus saith the Lord, celestial marriage will never end." Now, the modern apologists will say, "Well, it hasn't. We still do temple weddings," but that's not what they meant, and it's clearly not what they meant. And we document this. This is one of the excuses that's used. But what the issue was? John Taylor was a fugitive from justice. There was a bounty on his head for his capture by the federal government at the time that he gave this. He spent half his time as prophet running from the law because he was practicing polygamy. And polygamy had been, the Mormons love to spin this. Polygamy was outlawed under common law, but when they were practicing it in Illinois, it was against the law. They didn't care. They did it anyway. They kept it secret. During Joseph Smith's lifetime, they issued a supposed revelation that said that since we had been accused of fornication and polygamy and adultery, we're going to make this public statement. And it says, "We believe a man should have one wife and a woman but one husband." And the impression was that they weren't really polygamists. We have documentation of John Taylor, who was an apostle at the time, using that supposed revelation to deny accusations of polygamy. So polygamy was kept secret. It was practiced at least since 1833, which creates a problem because the revelation really wasn't supposed to have come about until 1843. But Joseph Smith had been doing this stuff all the way back to Fanny Alger. And you'll see her often counted among these polygamous wives. But, that's one of those things that the latter story doesn't match up. But what's clear is the Mormons were practicing polygamy in Nauvoo, and they were denying it. Joseph Smith denied it months before he died that he had any other wives. And the LDS Church now admits that he had 30 to 40 at least. After his death, Brigham Young takes a large portion of them, comes to Utah. They get here in 1847, and 5 years later, they quit hiding the fact that they're practicing polygamy. Well, they're in a U.S. territory. The Morrell Act was passed to outlaw polygamy in U.S. territories. It's noteworthy that when the Mormons moved here, they weren't expecting to move to a U.S. territory. They moved to what was then Mexico with the intent of taking over this whole region and creating the state of Deseret, like Texas had split off from Mexico. But the U.S. was in the U.S.-Mexican War, and 6 months after they got here, they found themselves back in the United States again. So in 1852, they admitted they were practicing polygamy. Now, there were still people denying it in other countries. A number of British converts stated that they were lied to until they came here. They sailed across the ocean, took a wagon train, basically walked across the Great Plains, got to Utah, and found out they really were practicing polygamy. So polygamy was a big deal. After the Civil War, many of the people who had been abolitionists shifted their focus much more to polygamy. It was called, these were the twin vestiges of barbarism. It was a popular statement, and they wanted to end polygamy. And so you had the Morrill Act, then you had the Edmunds Act, and ultimately you have the Edmunds-Tucker Act, which disincorporated the Mormon Church, allowed the federal government to seize its property, and they were actually looking at disenfranchising the Mormons. So John Taylor is on the lam. The federal government is cracking down. It's 1886. They're not going to allow polygamy anymore. And he supposedly prays and he gets this revelation where God directly tells him it will never end. And that held sway until his death. He was succeeded by Wilford Woodruff. And as late as 1889, Wilford Woodruff said, polygamy will never end. But then the Edmunds-Tucker Act was upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. And all of a sudden, the federal government's going to seize all the Mormon property and potentially disenfranchise the Mormons. And all of a sudden, Wilford Woodruff issues a manifesto stating, God has given him permission to end polygamy. In contrast with John Taylor's revelation, which says, thus saith the Lord, Wilford Woodruff's manifesto starts with, to whom it may concern. And to listen to the modern church, well, that was a revelation and that was the end of polygamy. Well, it wasn't. What we go through in the video is that polygamy continued in the Mormon church through unchecked and supported by the general authorities easily to 1904. So for 14 years, there were many, many plural marriages that were conducted. There were accusations of as many as 2,000. And in the midst of all this, B.H. Roberts was elected to Congress, and Congress refused to seat him because it became known that he had married a plural wife after the manifesto and had two children by her. And there were other political things we can get into, but I don't want to get off on too long a tangent there.
Well, the Mormon Church throughout its history has had these convenient revelations, haven't they? In order to preserve their property and wealth, and to begin with, to become added to the Union as a state, Utah, the only way that they could be accepted into the Union was to renounce polygamy. And so they have this convenient revelation that this practice is no longer going to be accepted. And then you have going all the way up into our more recent times, as I mentioned in the beginning of the program, in the 1970s, I believe they were being threatened with losing tax-exempt status for their schools, if I'm not mistaken, all because of their racist practices of not permitting blacks into the priesthood and other things that they were barring them from. They began to welcome blacks into the priesthood as a part of a new revelation. So this is really just, as the church lady used to say, how convenient.
Yeah, this is when a church claims that they are the full, they have the fullness of the gospel. They are the restored church, but then they keep changing. That doesn't fit. Mormonism has reinvented itself, and we deal with this in the video. And by the way, the easy way to access all our LDS videos is just the website www.lds.video. And I believe we're up to 9 different videos for for LDS and former LDS. And we've got dozens of other videos. They're all on our YouTube channel, Ancient Paths TV. But the easy way to get to the LDS ones there, we also have atheism.video, Quran.video, Roman Catholic.video, Orthodox.video, GayChristian.video. It's easy to put a website on a card and hand it out to people rather than spending a lot of money trying to print up all the content and hand it out. So, but we use this video to expose not just the issue of polygamy and how the Mormon Church wrestled with redefining itself, but also blacks in the priesthood. One of the quotes that I love that's in that video is from a speech that Bruce R. McConkie gave at Brigham Young back in 1978. And he said, let me pull it up here. He said, I'm sorry, what did you say?
While you were looking, I was going to give my email address. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com if anybody wants to send in a question. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Go ahead.
So this is supposedly a modern apostle, equal to Peter and to Paul, if not even greater, supposedly, in the LDS mind, because, I mean, he's a modern one. He was living at the time. But this is what he said at BYU back in 78, after when the first presidency had allowed blacks to the priesthood much sooner than all the prophets had said they ever would be. Mormons will tell you, well, you know, our prophets said they would be included, but not this way. And it's as recently as 1969, so 9 years later, the first presidency had denied that they had the power to do this. But in 1978, they changed their, you know, apparently God changed his mind, and all of a sudden blacks were allowed to hold full membership in the Mormon Church. And this is what McConkie said. There are statements in our literature by the early brethren which we have interpreted to mean that the Negroes would not receive the priesthood in mortality. I have said the same things, and people write me letters and say, you said such and such, and how is it now that we do such and such? And all I can say to that is that it is time disbelieving people repented and got in line and believed in a living modern prophet. Forget everything that I have said, or what Brigham Young, or President George Q. Cannon, or whomsoever has said in days past that is contrary to the present revelation. We spoke with limited understanding and without the light and knowledge that now has come into the world. We get our truth and our line, or in our light, line upon line and precept upon precept. We have now added a new flood of intelligence and light on this particular subject, and it erases all the darkness and all the views and all the thoughts of the past. They don't matter anymore. And so they just changed. They did a 180. Even though their prophets explicitly said they never would do that. And, you know, John Taylor's revelation from 1886 is explicit. God himself says he is everlasting. He cannot change his everlasting covenant. And what we do in the video is we go through the various excuses, the explanations that have been offered. One is that it was a fraud. And we demonstrate, no, it was not a fraud. Not only does the handwriting match, but if you go through the archives, you can find, you know, you find a transcript made in 1909. You find that in 1880, Heber Grant, who was the prophet in 1933, wrote in his journal about being told about it. It was read at the trial of John Taylor's son, John W. Taylor, who was excommunicated in 1911. He read the revelation to Heber Grant and to Anthony Ivins, who were two of the three members of the First Presidency who issued the statement in 1933 saying they knew nothing about such a revelation. And then it was a pretended revelation. There was no revelation. So we document that that's just a lie. And so then we go through and we look at the other explanations that are given. Well, you know, it's argued that celestial marriage isn't the same as plural marriage. And yet we find that they are synonymous. And it's not just that they're used interchangeably, but the First Presidency issued a formal request for amnesty in 1891. And they clearly said that celestial marriage was plural marriage and that they had taught that it was necessary for exaltation. And we show that they had. We quote Brigham Young, we quote John Taylor, we quote George Smith and a number of others. And so, you know, if it's not a fraud, and if it actually means polygamy can never end, how do you make sense of the fact that the one true and living church upon the face of the earth has ended something its prophets said God told them could never end? And the other option that's given is that since it's not part of the canon, it's not binding.
In fact, I want you to pick up where you left off. We have to go to our first commercial break, but a very key phrase you used, part of the canon, has to be explained because Mormons have a different canon.
Yes.
And if anybody, as I said earlier, would like to join us with a question of your own, we already have some people waiting to have their questions asked and answered. If you'd like to join them, send your emails to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And now, some words from our sponsors, including one of our latest sponsors, Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Hello, this is Brian Nyhan, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I'm Dr. Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Pastor Jason Wallace of Christ Presbyterian Church in Magna, Utah, a congregation in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church denomination. And we are addressing today a topic that is of great importance to anyone who labors in evangelizing Mormons, otherwise known as Latter-day Saints. The Mormon mess of conflicting and contradicting revelation allegedly from God. We're also talking about a new documentary created by Jason Wallace, The True and Lying Church, the LDS cover-up of John Taylor's 1886 revelation. And I know that that's a play on words there, the title, because that is a slogan of the Mormon church, that they are the true and living church, correct?
Yes, and here's a question mark afterwards.
Yes.
Basically, how can you be true and lying? Because we document that they have lied over and over and over and over. Not just in terms of our interpretation of scripture, but their modern prophets contradict one another.
Yes, and when you deny sola scriptura, when you are not rooting what you believe and practice in the infallible, inerrant words of Scripture, you have these extra-biblical revelations and so-called inerrant guidance from leaders. In the Mormon church, you have these prophets, and of course, the Roman Catholic Church has a papacy. But they get into a quagmire when they have people in our modern day contradicting not only what the Bible teaches, but even what their own religions once taught were either revelation from God or dogmatic principles that could never change. The example with the Roman Catholic Church was made glaringly obvious, although this wouldn't have been the first time in their history where this occurred, but it was so glaringly obvious with Pope Francis being such an overt leftist that he was making it clear that if he lived centuries ago, his own church would have executed him. And then you have the Mormons in this tangled web that they have woven when they practice to deceive.
One of the proposed debate subjects that Jacob Hansen put forward for James to debate him on was his assertion that Protestants don't have a church. Well, we do have a church. And, you know, James is Baptist, I'm Presbyterian. We have strong disagreements about polity and the sacraments, but we both recognize the other as part of the same church. And so
it's only one sacrament that you have disagreement over, right? Baptism.
Yeah, baptism. I mean, he can't be perfect on every church. We picked at each other for 27 years, I think it is, that we've known each other. But anyway, when he was preparing for a debate up at the University of Utah 20 some odd years ago, and there was a thunder shower that came through just before the debate. There was a beautiful rainbow right up against the mountains there. And so I go inside and I drag him out. And James is a bit irritated and he goes, "Yeah, a rainbow." And I said, "Dude, sign of the covenant." I said, "Would you rather have been one of the ones sprinkled or one of the ones immersed?" But
even I as a Baptist find that funny.
Well, we try to have a sense of humor both ways, but anyway, there are a lot of folks who have a very low view of the church, and then all of a sudden they discover, wait a minute, there's a church out there that's claiming to give me certainty. And you know, the Catholic Church says, you know, all your confusion will go away if you just come join us. Well, you know the reality. I mean, you can be whatever you want to be in Catholicism. You can, you know, so long as you're not too high profile like Cardinal Strickland wasn't under Bishop Strickland in Texas. So long as you're not too high profile and too vocal, you can be as conservative as you want. Or you can be a Father James Martin and just celebrate homosexuality right and left. Or you can be a Father Flager in Chicago and do African dances during the Mass. You can do whatever you can do what they're doing in Italy and have clown masses, rock and roll masses.
They have clown masses now?
Polka masses. Polka masses.
We had when I was a kid, I was raised Roman Catholic in the 60s and 70s, converted by God's grace and mercy to biblical Christianity in the mid 80s. But when I was growing up, we had folk masses, and they would actually use at least one Beatles song in the folk mass, Let It Be. In those times of darkness, Mother Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And of course, the lyric was actually referring to, I can't remember which Beatle wrote that, but it was referring to his own mother. It had nothing to do with the mother of Christ.
Yeah. And one of the, an interesting side note is that Mormonism is radically, it's been redefining itself its whole history, but it's radically redefining itself now. And the traditional imitation of old Protestantism is being thrown out. You can use whatever Bible translation you want now. You don't have, you know, they use the King James exclusively up until just recently. I mean, they had their inspired version by Joseph Smith, but that was kind of an embarrassment. So they don't really, they'll appeal to it to trump the scriptures when needed, but it's in footnotes. They don't really issue it as a separate thing. But if you want to use the NASB or if you want to use the NIV or the ESV or whatever you want to use, you can use that now. You can strum a guitar in worship. You know, they would have some of these things outside of sacrament meeting, but now they're modernizing very quickly to, you know, show how hip they are. One of the interesting things, there's a photo at the end of the video, you know, that basically no matter what changes are made, no matter how contradictory they are, many Mormons are just going to continue to believe the church is true no matter what. And one of the photos we use was one that was taken of two girls kissing in front of the Brigham Young statue at Brigham Young University. They were celebrating that the president said that the honor code had been changed to allow same-sex dating.
Wow.
And they got a lot of, there were all kinds of celebrations. I mean, homosexuality is a big deal down there. I mean, people were coming out of the woodwork and just so happy that it was being accepted. And, but then they got pushback from conservatives and all of a sudden it's like, well, we really didn't change anything. And so then the pro-homosexual crowd, was protesting, and about that time COVID hit and they managed to just sort of quiet it all down. But, you know, there are a number of young Mormon apologists who say that they expect same-sex marriages in their temples in their lifetime.
Wow.
How correct they are. I can't say, but you know, the simple reality is they're not anchored. You know, we hold to the same faith that the church has held to from the apostles. Our previous video was the patristic roots of the Reformed faith, and you had me on to discuss that. And, you know, ours is not a 16th century innovation. We stand with Athanasius and Augustine against transubstantiation. We stand with Athanasius and Jerome against Rome's canon of, you know, including the Apocrypha. I mean, there's a whole litany of people who agree with us that the Apocrypha is not the Word of God. Chrysostom, we documented all in the video. When you're not anchored to the Word of God, you can give up polygamy, even though you said it was required for reigning in heaven, you know, in the highest heaven, the celestial kingdom. You can redefine blacks who used, you know, Brigham Young said that they were under a curse, and that if a black and white were to intermingle, The penalty was death, and it would always be so. But they don't believe that anymore, even though their prophet said it was the Word of God. So why not homosexual Mormons? Why not? You know, and they tried to, like many of the mainline churches, you know, they tried to say that, you know, well, anyway, it's been a steady drift with the culture. The culture is driving the Mormon church. It has been from the very beginning. And what it started out as is not what it is today. And it's not what it's going to be down the road. Yeah, there's speculation about, you know, if Bednar lives long enough to become a prophet, maybe he will change course, but who knows?
Now, this
clearly they
go ahead.
Clearly, they've abandoned polygamy. Clearly, they've abandoned the ban on blacks and the priesthood. And one of the other things we deal with is that, yeah, the Mormon Church was as clear as the Jehovah's Witnesses in terms of setting timetables. I mean, they didn't set a specific date, you know, like the Millerites and then the Jehovah's Witnesses, but they were abundantly clear. They were in the last generation. And you find all through their stuff, all through their prophets, that basically Jesus was going to come back around 1890. And 1885, 1890, and they continued to hold on to, I want to say there was a prophecy of Joseph Smith that they were going to build a temple in Independence, Missouri in that generation. And I want to say in like 1930, you had men saying there's still people alive. So it hasn't failed yet. And it's going to happen soon. And of course it never did. But my favorite one, if we've got the time here for quick reading, this is from one of the original 12 apostles of Mormonism, Parley Pratt. His great-great-grandson's actually a member of our congregation.
Wow.
But, yeah, God is merciful. The family had historically Christian roots, but Parley and Orson went off on a tangent. But this is what Parley Pratt wrote in a book in responding to Mr. Sutherland, who had criticized Mormonism. And remember, this is being written in 1836. He said, "All who will not hearken to the Book of Mormon shall be cut off from among the people, and that too in the day it comes forth to the Gentiles and is rejected by them. And not only does this page set the time for the overthrow of our government and all other Gentile governments on the American continent, but the way and means of this utter destruction are clearly foretold. Namely, the remnant of Jacob, which is the American Indians, will go through among the Gentiles and tear them in pieces, like a lion among the flocks of sheep. Their hand shall be lifted up upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. This destruction includes the utter overthrow and desolation of all our cities, forts, and strongholds, an entire annihilation of our race, except such as embrace the covenant and are numbered with Israel," which includes the Mormons. "Now, Mr. Sutherland, you have something definite and tangible. The time, the manner, the means, the names, the dates, and I will state as a prophecy that there will not be an unbelieving Gentile upon this continent 50 years hence. And if they are not greatly scourged and in a great measure overthrown within 5 or 10 years from this date, then the Book of Mormon will have proved itself false." And I actually misspoke. That was 1838.
Wow.
So we're coming up on 188 years, is it? And here we are. But just like polygamy, just like blacks in the priesthood, their apocalypticism has been thrown out. I mean, they'll still do 2 years food storage. They'll still talk about the judgment. They'll still do all this. But that's not how they started. Their prophets were explicit. They were living in the last generation. And they consigned that to the dustbin of history.
Well, we could pick up where you left off there, because we have to go to a midway break right now. And when we return, we'll have you finish your thought, and we'll get to some of our listener questions. If anybody wants to join, the listeners are already waiting to have their questions asked and answered. by Jason Wallace. You can submit them to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
When Iron
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they automatically provide us with financial support every single month, on top of that, RoyalDiadem.com gives Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com. So whether you're purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry designed and created, either way, we will get 100% of the profits from that sale of jewelry if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Jason Wallace and our discussion today on the conflicting and contradicting so-called revelations from God pronounced by the Mormon Church. We have some very important reminders for you folks. If you really love Iron Trippin's Iron Radio and you don't want us to go off the air, I'm urging you, please help us financially. Go to irontrippinsironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, going to your post office with a physical check and mailing it to a physical address, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at irontrippinsironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Trippin' Zion Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice, like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. And as many of you know who listen to this program, we have recently lost two of our largest advertisers, and one of them may be on the way. The largest of them was a local Christian bookstore that has been serving the Christian community worldwide for 50 years with the finest in Christian literature at reasonable prices. And very sadly, they were forced to go out of business and lock their doors permanently several months ago. So we lost that very valuable source of income, and we've lost the second advertiser, and a third is possibly on its way out as well. Please, folks, we need your help to replace and replenish that lost income. Go to irontrippinsironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound, theologically solid church like Christ Presbyterian Church in Magna, Utah, well, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe, and I've helped many people all over the planet Earth and the Iron Trippin' Zion Radio audience find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too. If you are not a member of a biblically faithful church home, no matter where you live on the entire globe, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Pastor Jason Wallace. We are discussing Mormonism and specifically the Mormon mess of conflicting and contradicting revelation allegedly from God. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Pastor Jason, you want to finish your thought that you began before the break, and then we'll go to some listener questions.
Chris, I'm getting old. I'm trying to remember what was the last thing I said.
Well, we were talking about the conflict and the contradictions specifically about alleged Mormon revelation directly from God through their prophets about polygamy, and also about their former prohibition to welcome priests, blacks, into the priesthood, which changed in the late 1970s.
Yeah, I think we begin to touch on the apocalyptic stuff as well, now that I'm thinking about it more clearly. But
yes, you were talking about that.
Yeah, the
end time stuff.
The Mormon Church, you need to understand, Mormonism is not a religion of any book. You know, you alluded earlier, their canon, in theory, contains the Bible, and they'll qualify that as rightly translated, which means wherever it can be twisted to agree with them. The Book of Mormon Doctrine and Covenants, and The Pearl of Great Price. So they have what are known as four standard works. But the simple reality is that, as we show in the video, they're not a religion of any book. Even if something is accepted into their canon, that, you know, they've had things in their canon that they have removed later. You know, I mentioned earlier there was a supposed revelation that was included in the original Doctrine and Covenants, section 101, that said, you know, they believe that a man should have one wife to counter claims of polygamy. Well, it was a play on words and didn't say only one wife, but that's the way they put it forward to their critics. Well, eventually it's exposed, yeah, they really were practicing polygamy. Section 101 eventually just goes away. There are revelations that get radically expanded, radically shortened. There are sections of the Doctrine and Covenants. The doctrine part of the Doctrine and Covenants were known as the Lectures on Faith. Those were in the original 1835 Doctrine and Covenants, and I want to say it was like 1922 or so. They just took them out. And so they changed their canon to suit themselves. There have been amendments made to the Book of Mormon. They've tried to downplay the whole idea of people being cursed with dark skin and then made white and delightsome, because that doesn't play nearly as well today as it did in the 19th century. And, you know, they just reinvent themselves over and over. Whatever a past prophet said, to some extent, doesn't matter at all. Like when I read from Bruce R. McConkie, whatever the living prophet tells you trumps whatever any dead prophet, biblical or otherwise, tells you. And so the heart of Mormonism is really shut up and do what you're told, and you'll be happy.
Yeah, I mean, it almost sounded like that verbatim with Bruce R. McConkie when he said something like, and you could probably remember the better than me, it's time that you just get with the program and not care about anything that was said before in our church.
Yes. Yes. It is not a religion of a book. It's a religion of a man. What Mormons typically do to try to win someone is, you know, number one, they'll love bomb them. Yeah. They'll try to involve them, try to be very nice to them. But then if they don't accept them, then they'll give them the cold shoulder and pressure them. But essentially what they want you to do is you're supposed to read the Book of Mormon and pray to know whether it's true. And there's several issues with that. One is we're supposed to test things by what the law and the prophets say, not by a burning in our bosom. You know, God has already spoken, and the idea, well, he's not going to let me have a burning in my bosom about something that's untrue, that's not supported in Scripture. So people pray, they get a burning in their bosom, the Book of Mormon's true. Well, that must mean the church is true. Much of what the modern church teaches isn't in the Book of Mormon. You don't find baptism for the dead. You don't find celestial marriage. You don't find so many of the things that were developed later by Joseph Smith. You got something that sounds like, you know, a fan fiction of the Bible to a great extent. But Mormons, they don't really care what's in the Book of Mormon so much. I mean, yes, they'll gush about how they love it and how it gives them warm feelings, and you know, they were doubting the church and they prayed, and you know, they started weeping uncontrollably, or they had a vision when they were going to baptize the dead, or you know, their grandmother appeared to them in a dream and told them the church was true. But the Book of Mormon isn't doesn't have temples in the same way that what you see today. They don't have all the temple ordinances. This developed later. And so, you know, this burning in your bosom is supposed to tell you the Book of Mormon is true. Well, you can shut it because you're never going to appeal to the Book of Mormon to correct anyone or to really know much of anything other than just have some kind of experience. But in terms of knowing what's true, whatever's in the Book of Mormon gets trumped by whatever the current prophet tells you. And if it's 180 degrees opposite, you just need to shut up and do what you're told. And so I'm being blunt because I'm expecting most of your listeners are Christians, and I'm trying to help them understand these things. What I hope that people will recognize is when you're dealing with Mormons, on the one hand, you need to show the love of Christ. You need to show a compassion for souls. You need to weep over the idols that people are following. But simply showing them what the Bible says about something, yes, there's a power in God's word. There's a power in God's spirit. And ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit who's going to have to regenerate them. But on a practical level, they have been inoculated their whole lives against the Bible. And even if you show, there was one fellow years ago that was preaching to the Mormons out of the Book of Mormon about something in the Book of Mormon that contradicted current practice. And I thought that was one of the most foolish things I'd ever seen in my life. You need to understand that their ultimate authority is experience and the living prophet. That's it. And that redefines everything periodically and continually. But we've made these videos partially to equip people that they can ask their LDS friends and neighbors and family members, I'd like you to look at something and give me feedback. One of the few things I remember from business school 40-something years ago was, the concept of let's you and him fight. And so instead of you being the one who's challenging them, you're looking to them for an answer. Here's this mean guy out in Utah who's making these assertions and documenting them all. Challenge them to watch it and say, I'd like to see a response. Well, they're going to dance all around it. They're going to try to demonize me. He's just being mean. He's just, if he loved Jesus, he'd just be talking about Jesus. He wouldn't be criticizing us. Sure, the LDS Church calls in its standard work says Presbyterianism is not true. We have a privilege over Baptists in that regard. We get singled out. But y'all get lumped in with us. A few sentences later, Joseph Smith's told he's not to join any of the churches because all their professors are corrupt and all their creeds are an abomination. And so I ask Mormons, it's like, do I get to respond? Do I get to defend my good name? Do I get to show that Presbyterianism is actually true and that your prophets are lying? No, I don't. That'd be me. That's contention is of the devil. One of the lines they love to throw at you. It's not contentious when they attack others. It's only contentious when you fight back. But it's a religion centered around somebody telling you what to do. And it's just one of a whole bunch of different versions of that out there.
All right, let's go to some of our listener questions. Let's see here. This is a question from Brian in Palm Bay, Florida. I reach out to Mormons frequently and have noticed an increase of Mormon apologists. They seem to put a twist on so many doctrines, making it hard to get them to hold to previous Mormon beliefs. How would you handle situations like this. And after you address that, he has one more question.
I think one of the most powerful things you can do with Mormons is ask questions. If you simply start, I mean, the nature of these videos is to bring the receipts, as they say these days, to document the evidence from their own sources. And it's not a matter of somebody in the 19th century didn't like Joseph Smith. No, here's what your prophets and apostles have said in your own publications, in records that are in your archives. Let's look at the reality. But in terms of dealing with Mormons, it's like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree anymore. I mean, they used to make very definitive truth claims. I remember 40 years ago, Mormons would, be very convicted, and tell me, I sense no authority in you. You know, we are the true and living church, blah, 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 blah. But now they used to rattle off Bible verses. They've stopped that because it's like playing with a loaded gun. It might go off in your face. when they were dealing with people who didn't know their Bibles, it made them look good. But then they started running up against people who actually knew their Bibles. But the new Mormonism, especially through the influence of Blake Hostler, James makes a funny quote or a funny statement. He said, the only thing I know about new Mormonism is it ain't Mormonism. There are a lot of folks that they are on the rolls of the Mormon Church, and it's like people who are on the rolls of the Catholic Church, but are universalist and, pray to the Pachamama. They give lip service to the primacy of the Pope, but they're heretical as the day is long. They're engaging in interfaith stuff with Buddhists and everybody else. And, they're going to mosque or whatever.
Yeah. Well, their modern catechism teaches that Muslims adore the same one true God as they do.
Yeah. And so there's not the easy target, that there used to be. You can't assume that the Mormon Church threw Brigham Young under the bus a generation ago. They've thrown Bruce R. McConkie under the bus. To some extent, they'll throw Joseph Smith under the bus. Because what matters is it's true for me. And this is where I know God wants me. There's a lot of mysticism. I alluded to it earlier. You'll hear people, they've experienced some apparition or some supposed spiritual experience that trumps all evidence you're ever going to be able to give them. So my encouragement is, when you're dealing with Mormons, don't assume that because you've read, I love Sandra Tanner. She and Gerald did wonderful, wonderful work. And we will forever be in their debt. But the Mormonism they were arguing against is largely dead. Now, it matters because once you start pushing individuals, they'll often revert. It's like years ago, James did a debate with a local former conservative Baptist pastor who converted to Rome. And when they started the debate, he's talking about how he prays to Saint Martin Luther and all like this. Well, James just kept pushing him about his inconsistency, and by the end of the debate, he's almost pulling out the anathemas of Trent at James. So, it didn't take a whole lot of prodding to turn him back into a fairly you know, old school Catholic. Mormonism, this warm, fuzzy Mormonism, if you push people, one of two things is going to have to happen. Either they're going to have to keep throwing people under the bus, let them, but then keep pressing. What makes you the true church? Are you the true church? Well, we are a true church. It's like, is that really what you claim in Doctrine and Covenants section one? And, you know, they'll do the warm fuzzy. It's like, you know, you bring your truth and we'll bring ours. We just think we have a fuller revelation of the truth. That's not the historic claims of Mormonism.
And that's actually that's the line that the Catholics use as well. Calling us separated brethren, and they just want us to come to the fuller experience.
Yes. Exactly. And, you know, we are the world. You know, let's all join hands and sing Kumbaya together. Truth doesn't matter, but truth does matter. And so, you know, my advice is ask questions and keep pushing and pushing. And it's in all your apologetics, I'm sure this fellow knows this, but, you know, I encourage everyone. When you're evangelizing, your goal isn't to just shred the other person's position. A whole bunch of people have left Mormonism in the 28 years I've been here. The vast majority of them have gone atheist. To me, they've exchanged one form of unbelief for another. And, you know, for another, for another, for another, and another. And there's a lot of people that claim to be nominally Christian that you'll see if you go to LDS.video that there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians that they've left Mormonism to become their own prophet. And biblical Christianity is not the default. We're supposed to be preaching Christ. And yes, we can expose the lies and we can expose the inconsistencies to plead with them to come, to deal with Jesus for who he really is. Because that's the real lie. That's the fundamental lie that matters. A lot of people leave Mormonism, but they still believe the lies that they were taught about the Bible and about Jesus and about other churches. This is the reason so many go atheist, is the Mormon church teaches them if Mormonism isn't true, nothing's true.
Right. And we have to pick
up. So they don't believe Mormons.
We have to pick up where you left off because we have to go to our final break. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
On Truly Great. grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in. But here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners and that God forgives all who come to him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And folks, never forget, this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the entirety of the United States, please call my longtime very dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to let you know, folks, that tomorrow, which is Saturday, February 28th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., Dr. James Renahan, who is the president of the International Reformed Baptist Seminary in Texas, he's going to be speaking at my church, where I'm a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the theme, A Deep Dive into Baptism. And it's absolutely free of charge. They do want to get an idea of how many people are coming. So if you could just send them an email to let them know if you intend to go to this free event. That's TRBC for Trinity Reformed Baptist Church, TRBC at trbccarlisle.org. That's TRBC at trbccarlisle.org, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Also, another reminder for all men in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Trip and Zion Radio Pastors Luncheon featuring Dr. Conrad Mbewe. This is absolutely free of charge, and every man attending will receive two heavy sacks of free brand-new books donated by publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom, all entirely free of charge, Thursday, March 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. To register, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. On the night before the luncheon, Wednesday, March 4th, Dr. Mbewe will be preaching at the church where I'm a member, the aforementioned Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. That event is open to everybody, men, women, and children. And to find out more about getting to Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, go to trbccarlisle.org, trbccarlisle.org. And we have the second question from Brian in Palm Bay, Florida. You've really already addressed this, but perhaps you want to say something else about this question, Pastor Jason. If you could please address the topic of ultimate authority in the Latter-day Saint Church. My LDS friends always want to share with me the need for prophets and just listening to God instead of going to the Bible alone for doctrine and teaching.
Yeah, this is the fundamental purpose of the video, to demonstrate that their prophets and apostles contradict not only the Bible, but one another. And, you know, unless you just want to sacrifice the laws of logic entirely, you know, non-contradiction, you know, and do whatever you feel like doing at the moment, that you have to recognize that they're not who they claim to be. The video we made before this, the Patristic Roots of the Reformed Faith, one of the things we're demonstrating there is that the church fathers disagree, councils disagree. What does not contradict itself? Scripture. God has spoken. That trumps everything. That's at the heart of all these debates. If you ignore that, then you're arguing feelings, you're arguing experience, you're arguing all these other things. And you know, the critics of we deal with this in the previous video. You know, critics of sola scriptura will say, you know, well, where did you get scriptura? You know, who gave you your Bible? And we deal with that. You know, we don't have time for it in the last few minutes here, but God has spoken through prophets and apostles. We know what they said. And, you know, we don't think that it came out, we didn't dig it out of a hillside. We didn't have it lowered from heaven by an angel. But we know who the real prophets and apostles are, and we test everything by them. They speak truth. They don't contradict one another. The seed of the woman promised in Genesis 3 is the same Jesus that we see in Revelation. It's consistent. Joseph Smith couldn't tell the same story for 14 years. From the publishing of the Book of Mormon in 1830 to 1844, he radically changed, and his church has radically changed. Men liars can't tell consistent stories, but the prophets and apostles do. So that's your fundamental issue, is what's your authority? We have the Word of God. And they're going to try every which way to get you away from it. They're going to throw all kinds of objections, all kinds of other things. And you know, we've tried to deal with them in the videos.
All right, we've got a.
I don't know how much time we have.
Well, we just have time for one quick question from Jerusha in Spanish Fork, Utah. You mentioned earlier that baptisms for the dead are not in the Bible, but what about 1 Corinthians 15, verse 29? For otherwise, what will those who are baptized for the dead, if the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them?
Yeah, I didn't say that. And Jerusha, if you're in Spanish Fork, we actually have evening services in Provo. Love to have you come up and visit with us. We meet at the First Baptist Church at 5:30. So if you want to come and discuss this at greater length, I'm not going to have time to deal with it in the couple minutes here. But no, I didn't say that. I said that the Book of Mormon doesn't have the things that have come to define Mormonism. Book of Mormon doesn't have baptism for the dead. It doesn't have celestial marriage. It doesn't have things like that. I never said the Bible didn't. Paul talks about, you know, why are they baptized for the dead if the dead rise not? And I can deal with that. It's been dealt with many, many times. My encouragement to Jerusha and everyone else, no one has anything to fear from the truth but liars. Test everything I say. Go look it up. Go to the church history library. Look at the originals. We gave original scans. We've got nothing to hide. We've tried to be extremely careful. The best that anyone has ever shown me on any of our videos is that I misspoke years ago when I said that the state of Utah had legalized polygamy. They didn't legalize it. They decriminalized it. That's a distinction to which I don't see a huge difference, but I freely admit it.
Okay, we have one more quick question. Russ in Prescott, Arizona, I would enjoy another debate with Pastor Wallace and Professor Stephen Smoot. Can that be arranged?
Oh, he keeps trying to encourage me to do debates. I'm old and cranky, and I prefer making videos.
Well, we're
at, usually my video.
We're out of time though. Thanks for being such a wonderful guest, Jason. The website again for Christ Presbyterian Church is gospelutah.org, gospelutah.org. I want to thank everybody who listened. I hope that you all have a safe, happy, healthy, and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.